Again, happy Mother's Day to all the moms. Now, when it comes to this particular occasion that we're celebrating today, there are a number of verses which you may or may not be aware of that correlate God with an element of tenderness, an element of compassion, that define Him with the same example, with the same words of compassion, of a motherly love, that define God in that way. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13, it says, "As one whom his mother comforts, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you." In Deuteronomy 32 and 18, it says, "You were you were unmindful of the rock that bore you, and you forgot the God who gave you birth." You forgot the God who gave you birth. Again, all pictures of God were from a motherly perspective. In Isaiah 49:15, it says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child, or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you." Matthew 23:37, Jesus is speaking over Jerusalem. He says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills its prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have desired to gather you as children, as children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." So the pictures of God, and of course we always think of God as He, because Jesus was He, and rightfully so, but there is a tender, compassionate side, a tender side to the Lord that He wants to express also for us here. And King David here captured this heart of God, and he wrote about it in Psalm 27, especially when he said, when my mother and my father forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. If my father and my mother forsake me, if they forget me, even if the ones that are closest to me forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. And so with that, I'd like to read with you, if you will, Psalm 27. Hopefully you have it open. I don't hear any pages turning. Okay. It's all on the phone. That's right. "So the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.' Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation." Verse 10, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." In this psalm, I'd like to focus on just five things. We're only going to be here for 7 or 8 hours. Five things, just making sure you're awake. Five things pertaining to this particular thing that the Lord does for us. The first thing is He hides us. The second thing is He hears us. Thirdly, He cares for us. He teaches us. And then finally, He strengthens us. These are things that the Lord does for us. When we think about moms or grandmothers, we think about the love and the compassion that they give to us as their offspring. Yes? Well, I can't say us anymore. I'm not in that category anymore. But the love that's given to the offspring, and it comes from this perspective: hides, hears, cares, teaches, and strengthens. So again, thank you, moms, for all that you do. Let's begin with the first one. He hides us. He hides us. And the picture that comes to my mind when we talk about hide is a picture of a mom wearing a skirt and there are children running around her. And especially as company comes into the house, the first thing that they do is run behind mom and run into the skirt and they want to try. And of course, they're not really hiding, but what do? They're trying to find a place of safety, a place of shelter. And the first place they think of, first place that they run to is the skirt of mom. They're trying to find some coverage there. And with a gentle smile and a gentle touch, of course, the mother plays along carefully and full of compassion. Again, in verse 5, it says, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." And I'm trying to correlate this morning the compassion of God and the compassion and tenderness of a mom and what moms do, but even more so, what God does for us with that same tender heart of compassion. Who gave the moms that tender heart? I was just speaking this morning about the fact how when little girls are just little girls, the first thing they do is they want to find a doll to play with. They can't help it. That's just what they do. They gravitate towards dolls and they have this mothering nature that's already in them and they want to take care of and nurture that thing. Who put that into the child? People say nature. No, God. Because He created nature. And so with that same heart of compassion, He is doing that here. And in Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2, it says, "For he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He is my strength, He is my God, in Him I will trust." God hides us. He hides us in times of trouble. Just like a child wants to run and hide behind mom's skirt, God hides us. And He hides us both from things that we can see and things that we cannot see. From the things that we can see, He knows how to hide us. When the army was encamped around the prophet there on the mountain, and his servant said, my master, all these hosts are all around us. Aren't you afraid? And Elisha was there in his little home, and he wasn't afraid at all. He wasn't moved. There was tons of people that were there to kill and to destroy. But he wasn't afraid at all. Do you know what he said? He said a little prayer. He said, "Lord, I pray that you open the young man's eyes." And as he prayed that prayer, God opened the young man's eyes. And then he saw a host of armies, heavenly hosts, that were surrounding and protecting that little hut, that little shack, that worthless piece of real estate in today's world that's worth nothing. And God was protecting them with a number that is so much greater than the number that was coming against them. Sometimes we just need to know that although we cannot see things in the natural, God has us protected. God has us protected. These are some of the things that we can see. And know that God, when God says something, He will fulfill it. If He made a promise to us, then He will fulfill it. It doesn't matter what. And we don't know how. But as long as He said it, He will bring it to pass. These are things that we can see. How about some of the things that we cannot see? Are there things that we cannot see? There was a king named Balak, and this king was afraid. He was terrified of these people that had just come out of Egypt, some 2, maybe 3 million people that came out of Egypt, and he was terrified of them. And they're filling the valley, and this king Balak, the king of Moab, he called for a man named Balaam, this prophet, a false prophet, a wicked man, an evil man, whatever the case may be. And he says, "I want you to come here. I want you to come to me, and I want you to curse these people for me." And so, to make a long story short, he ends up going to speak with this man, and he gets up and he's getting ready to speak a curse, and God turns the curse into a blessing. He tries it one time, he tries it two times, he tries it three times. And all three times, the curse turns into, he says, "How can I curse whom God has blessed? God is not a man that he should lie." That's there in that particular chapter. "Nor the Son of Man, that he should repent. What he said, he will bring to pass. I cannot curse them." And they were completely unaware of what was happening. Do you know that in the heavenlies right now, there are hosts that are trying to kill you, that are trying to attack you from various directions? We don't even know it. But God says, "I can see. I can see from up high." There are things that you can see, sure. There are things that are troubling on the outside, absolutely. But there are things that you cannot see that God has you and me protected from, because He is that kind of God. In Him we can hide. We can take our refuge. When God says something, He will bring it to pass, regardless. Because He has made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. We need to take refuge in Him. We need to take our refuge in Him and say, Lord, I will learn. It's a learned thing, by the way. It doesn't come naturally for us. It's, I will learn to rest in You. I will learn to trust in You because I need You and I'm choosing to hide in You today. So the first thing is He hides us. Secondly, He hears us. He hears us. I don't know about how it works in your household, but in my household, when my children, and thankfully they're not here right now, when they want to say something, they typically don't come to me first if they want a listening ear. They typically will go to mom first. And here's why. Because I will say, get to the point. I don't want the full drawn-out story. I don't want the details of who was wearing what and what colors and the sunshine and the temperature. I don't care. Was anybody hurt? Is there enough gas in the car? I'm good. That's all I need to know. If you're not hurt and there's gas in the car, I'm good. You want details? Go to mom. She loves the details. And she says, give me more details. Why? I don't get it. It's a woman thing. I just don't understand it. No matter how brief or no matter how long our prayers are, God hears us. Some of us are very brief in our prayers. We don't have very long prayers at all, and that's okay. Some of us can go on for hours, and that's okay too. God hears us because He hears the cry of our hearts. Psalm 65 and 2 says, O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Psalm 55 and 17, I hope you don't mind. I'll be sharing a lot of verses today. I'm much safer sharing verses than me doing my own. Okay, so Psalm 55 and 17 says, Evening and morning and noon I will pray. I will cry aloud and He shall hear my voice. He shall hear my voice. And you say, well, that sounds right when I'm walking with God. What about when I'm not walking with God? That sounds right when I'm close to the Lord. What about the times where I'm not close to the Lord? Because that's the time I feel the furthest away. I feel like God's not hearing me. Listen, God hears us even when we are wayward. And He said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and He heard me. And out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and He heard my voice. Can anyone tell me where that's found? Jonah 2, verse 2. I'll read it again. And He said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and He answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and He heard my voice. Who is this? This is the wayward preacher. This is the wayward believer, the believer who decided, I'm not going to follow God this season. I'm going to take a break from following God this season. I'm going to do my own thing this season. And of course, when he found himself in trouble, he says, and then I remembered, I cried out to the Lord, and He heard me. Oh, this is good news. No matter where I am, as long as I am His child, whether I am very, very close and intimate with Him, or I have been very, very distant and I've walked away from the Lord for a season, for any reason, God hears me. He hears you. He hears us. Why? Because that's the heart of a parent. That's the heart of a loving father, a loving mother who wants their children to always be near them. Psalm 139 and 4, it says, For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it all together. Before I even speak the word, You know what that word is. Before I can formulate the proper language to speak to You, You already understand it before it's even on my lips. 1 John 5 and 14, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. He hears us. Someone says, I don't think God hears me. No, He hears you. Someone says, I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed and I don't think God really hears. Maybe He hears you, but He doesn't hear me. Maybe He hears other people, but He doesn't seem to be hearing me. Or at least in this particular issue, He's not really hearing me. Listen, God knows. And nothing goes unnoticed with God. And after we come out of this difficult tunnel, after we come out of this difficult season, we will then realize what God has been doing all along, working and shaping and forming us into the image of His Son. As we learn to trust in Him, as we learn to yield to Him, He hears us. And whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition of Him because we ask in faith. If the mother who is not necessarily around her child has this sixth sense, this God-given sense that something may be wrong, has that ever happened? You're not there. No one called you. No one texted you. No one did it. But you just get this feeling, this sense. Dads, I haven't experienced it. I don't know. But I hear that women have this kind of ability where they just know that something may be wrong with their child. If God put that in human fallible beings, how much more does His heart feel when something is wrong with us? He hears us. He hears us. Number three, He takes care of us. He takes care of us. When the children come home with a scraped knee or something is wrong, they had a bad day or something, they typically will again run to mom. They don't typically come to dad in those moments because they need that compassion. He takes care of us. And David, as he's writing these psalms, as he's writing these thoughts down, he had more than a scraped knee. He had more than minor issues in his life. And he says, listen, God takes care of me. David was forgotten by his family, he was rejected by his wife, and he was being chased by the king. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Can you imagine being rejected by your family? And that's why in the psalm he says, if my father and my mother forsake me. Why? Because when the man of God came to pick out a new king, they forgot about the young man. They lined up all the men, and they forgot about him. They said, surely God's not going to pick him. He's not even... You can't even consider him. We can consider the first two, three, four, five, six. But David, if my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take. So he's forsaken by his family. He's forgotten by them. He's rejected by his wife. If you remember the story of Michal, who was there rejecting David and making fun of David for dancing in the presence of the Lord. And she says, you've become like one of the foolish ones in all of Israel. She rejected him. By the way, never had children after that statement. And then finally chased by King Saul. For some 15 plus years, chased by the man who was supposed to mentor him. Chased by the very man who invited him into the palace. David never said, I'd like to present my resume. Can I give my resume to the king, please? I'm kind of tired of shepherding sheep. Can I go work for the king? They called him. They call David. David is now in the king's house. He's living with the king and he's doing the king's business. And the king ends up jealous of him. Now he's chasing him. So you can imagine all of these issues that are around this young man David. He was forsaken. He was rejected. And now he's being chased. So he knows something about this area of distress. He needs someone to take care of him. And he was, for the most part, a very lonely person. You say, wait a minute, I thought he had some 400, some 600 men that were around him. Yeah, they needed more help than he did. They needed much more help than he did because they were also rejected. They were a band of losers, for a lack of better words. He was forgotten, he was forsaken. And in Psalm 34:10 says, even though I walk through the darkest, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God is taking care of me. God is taking care of me. You are with me. You will take care of me. You are the one that is responsible for me. I have been laid upon you from the womb, he says. I have been laid upon you from the womb. From the time I was conceived, from the time I came forth, I was laid upon you. You will take care of me. The same God who took care of this lonely nation known as Israel, who came up out of the land of Egypt, will take care of you, will take care of me. And the same God that took care of this lonely prophet Elijah, who was all alone, we'll take care of you and we'll take care of me. We have this promise. Whether we are a great nation or whether we are one person individual, the promise for us is God will take care of us. And I can hear the sound of the angel of the Lord approaching the prophet and says, what are you doing here, Elijah. I am left alone. He says, no, you're not alone. I've reserved 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Rise up, for there is yet a work to be done ahead of you. Rise up, because there is yet a work to be done. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to give up. I'm ready to call it quits. I'm ready to throw in the towel. As a matter of fact, would you please take my life now, because I'm not better than my father's. He says, why don't you go ahead and eat something and drink something and take a little nap, because I have some work for you to do. The work is not finished for you yet. And for those who counted themselves out of the ministry, this is news. For those who are trying to quit the ministry, God has something yet for you to do. What are you doing here, Elijah? I will take care of you. I have not forgotten. I have seen every tear. I have known every pain. I know your loneliness. I know your depression. And I will take care of you, because I have loved you. And I've engraved you on the palm of my hands. Regardless of our need, whether it's a physical need or emotional need, God is our great caretaker, where He said to you and to me, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, ever. Ever. But I feel so forsaken. It's okay. Welcome to the club. All believers go through the period where they feel forsaken. But it's a process for us to learn to trust. Paul says we gave up even on life itself. We despaired even of life itself. He says, listen, it's time for you to learn to rest. But why did you go through that difficult time? So that our faith will be in God and not in ourselves. Because this entire time I've been trusting in me. This entire time I've been resting on me. This entire time I've been looking to me to be able to solve the problems, and I can't find the solution. I learn to trust in Him. Number four, He teaches us. Number four, God does what? He teaches us. Again, I don't know what things are like in your home, but usually when the kids came home asking for help from homework, my typical response is, go see your mother. Go see your mother. Because moms have a special patience. Moms have a special patience to be able to teach children. And work with children and be able to take them step by step, where I just say, okay, look, here's the problem, here's the solution. Do you understand? You don't understand? Okay, I'm done. Mom has a special way of being able to break things down. Here's why. You don't understand? Let me explain it to you a different way. You don't understand? I'll explain it to you. I can't relate. I don't understand. But Jesus being the best teacher ever, He teaches each person at their level. He teaches us at our level, because all of us are at different places in our life. All of us are different mentalities, different understandings in our life. Our spiritual growth is different. Even when you look at this room, we have the newborn and we have those that are a little bit older than newborn. I'll just leave it at that. All of us are in different stages in our lives, and God knows how to deal with each of us at that particular stage. And He speaks to us and teaches us at that particular level. He takes time to go over things again and again and again. He spent 3+ years with the disciples going over the same thing again and again. And He instructed them about His suffering and His death and His resurrection. And they still didn't believe. They still didn't understand it. As a matter of fact, after the resurrection in Luke 24... it says He walked with two of them on the road, and He says, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ have suffered these things to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and the prophets, He expounded to them all scriptures, things concerning Himself. What's that? He took them on a 7-mile walk. I would have loved to be in that Bible study to know what the Lord was saying and teaching about Himself, beginning at Moses all the way down the line. He is so patient with us. But I love what it says, that He didn't explain to them creation. He didn't explain to them eschatology, the study of end times. He didn't explain to them philosophy or prophecy. He gave them one lesson. One lesson. Who He is. If I walk away learning the one lesson of who He is, that's more than enough. If I walk away understanding biblical doctrine and eschatology, the study of end times and prophecy, and I can put all of these Old Testament, New Testament stories together and put a beautiful sermon together, but I miss Him, I've missed everything. All things pertaining to Himself. What does He want to teach you? What does He want to teach me? Does He want to teach us to learn all the things in the Bible? Of course He does. But the point of it all is to see Him, to learn Him. Not just learn from Him, but to learn Him. Psalm 86 and 11 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Teach me." Teach me. We need to have a teachable attitude. And fifth and finally, not as long as you thought, huh? Fifth and finally, He strengthens us. Fifth and finally, He strengthens us. And again, typically we think of fathers in this area because fathers typically are stronger. And when it comes to opening jars, this is typically what happens, right? But everything else in the home, mom carries the strength. Aside from opening jars, I don't know what else we really... As far as the strength category. Huh? Shopping? You, the shopping? No, I don't do shopping. Yeah. Not very often, unless I have to.
What are we going to say next month on Father's Day?
Father's Day Sunday off.
We'll have a picnic that day. There goes this sermon. But when it comes to the strength, who has the ability to stay up late and wake up early and prepare and plan and cook and manage and still have a smile and be kind all at the same time? Certainly is not Dad. At least not in our house. I can only speak for us. The element is mom. Yes? That is real strength. That is real strength. Listen to Psalm 93 and 1. The Lord reigns. He's clothed with majesty. The Lord has clothed and girded Himself with strength. Indeed, the world is firmly established and it will not be moved. But you know what true strength does, though? It doesn't flex its muscles. True strength is given to others. True strength is making others strong. True leadership is making others leaders. True love is giving others love. It's not to flex itself and to say, look at me, here's how strong I am, look how wise I am, look how... This is foolishness. True strength and true love is to give that to others. In Isaiah 40 and 29, he says, "He gives strength to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth will faint and be weary, and the young men will utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their... They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And nothing strengthens our hearts like the Word of God. And that's why I gave you so many scriptures and passages to go through this morning, because it strengthens our hearts to know that God, He cares for us. He loves us. He teaches us. He's patient with us. And here He strengthens us. And He wants to strengthen your heart, and He wants to strengthen my heart today to be able to stand. Having done all, therefore, to stand. To stand. In the midst of my trial, in the midst of my tribulation, in the midst of my difficulty, He wants you and I to be able to stand, because that is what He wants to do. He wants to hide us. He wants to hear us. He wants to care for us. He wants to teach us, and He wants to strengthen us, because that's the kind of God that He is. And I'm thankful that He gives us glimpses of it in the mother's tender heart of compassion. But we have someone much, much greater. Because even our mothers can fail. Even they can become weak and weary and tired. But there is one who the Bible says never sleeps nor slumbers. There is one who never gets weary. There is one who never gets tired. There is one who never changes. And as we heard earlier about the mountain never shakes. When God showed himself initially on the mountain there to Moses, he appeared there because he wants to give a visual of strength. When you look to me, you look to strength. When we look to God, we look at a pillar of strength, something that does not move, someone who doesn't change, someone who never alters, someone who says, I am here and I will not ever be changed. You can rely on me. You can trust in me. You can rest upon me. How much does God care for us? How much does he love us? How worthy is he of our love and affection, adoration and thanksgiving, and most of all, trust? Do you know what honors us as parents from our children? Do you know what honors mom? When she says something, number one, it's believed, and then it's done. When mom says something and it's not believed and it's not done, then it's complete disrespect. It's taken as, then mom would consider you don't really love me. But when I hear what God says and I do what God says, then I show that I really, really love him and I really, really trust him and I really want to have that relationship with him. I want to challenge us to honor him this morning by hearing what he's saying to us and then doing whatever he's telling you to do. Because each of us has something unique that needs to be done. Something unique. Maybe it's something physical, maybe it's something inward, maybe it's whatever the case is, but something needs to be done. And for us to trust him, to hear him, and to say, I know that you hide me, and I know that you hear me, I know that you care for me, I know that you teach me, and I know that you strengthen me. I choose to trust you today. And whatever you tell me to do, Lord, I will do it for your glory. Can we pray together? Lord, you express such tenderness to us, Lord. You express such tenderness. And you show us elements of this tenderness through our moms and grandmothers. We thank you for that. And where human strength may fail, you never fail. You've never failed us, Lord. But you call us to trust in you. You call us to rely on you. To believe you. To take you at your word. That if your word says that you love us, then we say, okay, Lord, you do love us. That you care for us, we'll say, okay, Lord, you do care for us. That your desire is to teach us and to hide us and to protect us and to deliver us, we say, amen, Lord. Amen, Lord. And you want to continue to teach us, we say, amen, Lord. And you want to strengthen us in our faith, and we say, amen, Lord. Amen. Because you are Lord. Because you are God. And your word doesn't change. Your promises don't change. Your faithfulness doesn't change. We become faithless, but you are always faithful, and you cannot deny yourself. Lord, we choose to put our trust in you today. And whatever you tell us to do, Lord God, give us the strength, the faith, the hope, and the passion to do it with all of our heart. Because we want to honor you. We want to honor you. To hear you and not do what you say is to not honor you, but we want to bring honor to your name. Forgive us for yesterday. Forgive us for the past. Forgive us for our weaknesses, for we've all sinned against you, but give us the strength today to be obedient to what you have to say to us today. I want you to take just a moment, church, the next 60 seconds, and search your heart and say, Lord, what are you speaking to me about? What one thing do you have that you're communicating to me about? What is it that I need to believe? What is it that I need to make right? What relationship do I need to go correct? Who do I need to go apologize to? What is it that I need to do? Because I want that relationship restored with you. And whatever you tell me to do, Lord, I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to bring honor to your name. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. No height, nor depth, nor width, nor breadth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. don't allow our rebellion to get in the way, Lord. Don't allow the callous heart to get in the way, Father. Remove today the hearts of stone. Replace them with hearts of flesh. Give us to trust you. Give us to trust you. This is what I'm saying.